and try something new here tonight. I thought since there's less traffic on the web, we could try doing it wireless. I tried having it hooked up wired on Sunday because we need all the help we can get, but the wire doesn't come this far. So I'm a creature of habit, I guess. I feel more comfortable over here than over there. So I thought, well, we'll do something. Makes me feel normal. So, okay. So we're going to be looking here. We're going to do things different than what we have in the past. We're going to do our Bible study first. So those join us know when we're going to start. And because otherwise we're never sure, quite sure when we're going to end up praying. So we don't want to cut anybody off. Okay, so tonight we are looking at the second half of Lesson 7, Becoming a Christian and What is True Love. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for each one here tonight and those listening in. I pray that you would guide us in this study here tonight. You challenge our hearts as we see what we're not to do as believers and what we are to do, what our attitudes are to be pleasing to you. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit help be our teacher and guide here tonight. Well, thank you for your help, man, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, and we started at verses 11 through 18 here last time, so we'll do a little bit of review here, then continue on here tonight. And it's talking about what is true love. And I don't know if you remember the little kind of joke I shared last time. The young fellow, he was dating and come to tell his dad that he was in love. And his dad asked him how he knew he was in love. He says, because when he kissed his girlfriend, the dog bit him and he didn't feel it till he got home. So he knew he had to be in love. Well, we know it's a little bit more to it than that. But as we look here at this passage, we're challenged as believers that we are to love and not to hate. And just as a little bit of a review here, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 11, he says, this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. Okay, so this wasn't something new. They've been told this before. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Ye know that ye have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Or fellow believers. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we see here a command for us, if we're going to be a contagious Christian, and again, that's a good thing. Anything that's contagious now, we tend to run away from, but that it's going to rub off on others, that they see something that they like in our lives. And so in the Christian life, we're challenged here to be loving one another. And he gave the example, and some of the older folks could identify with that, like with a car. Okay, it was standard equipment. Okay, so it comes with all the cars. Well, for the Christian, loving one another is to be standard equipment. It's not an option. And that's regardless of how lovable or unlovable people might be, how they may have hurt us in the past. And so we're commanded as Christians that we are to love them. And so that's something you can pray for. Lord, help me to love them. And because that's what God wants us to do. Now, the question was asked too is, how does God teach us to love? Well, it's by challenging us, putting us to a bit of a test. And so the Lord may allow some rather unlovable people to come into your lives, whether it be family, friends, relatives, people that you work with, your boss, however the case might be, to put somebody unlovable in there just to kind of see how you're going to do with it. And if we flunk the test, well, then we get to do it over again tomorrow. And it's not just kind of a, okay, I did it once. I loved them once, so I'm off the hook. No, it's supposed to be an ongoing thing. Our love ought not to be like a light switch. It's kind of on or off or blinking, you know. He says that if we refuse to love, then there's some consequences of that. And you've probably come across people, as I have along the way, that they just seem kind of mad and angry at the world. I found it, well, in myself, as well as in other people, maybe a little bit less here since we kind of got the door cracked open and we can see a little bit of freedom. But before that, it's like, everybody's kind of on edge. It doesn't take much to kind of get people fired up. But when he's saying, if we have resentment, we have bitterness, anger in our lives, we're really kind of demonstrating another kind of father. Not our heavenly father, but the devil, following the example of the wicked one. And so we want to make sure that we're following the right example. And in our lesson, it gave us the example of Cain. He was kind of the prototype of the world. And you remember how that worked out. They were to come and to give an offering to the Lord. And Cain's was rejected. Why was Cain's offering rejected?
His pride.
Pride, okay, that could be a part of it. Pardon?
It wasn't what God asked for.
Now, what do you think? Because we don't, all this isn't spelled out for us. Do you think that it was Cain, that he had to guess what God wanted, and he guessed wrong, and then God got mad at him? Okay. No, I'm guessing that God told him what he expected, and Cain had a better idea. And again, you run across people who've all got a better idea. You know, this is the way we're going to do this. No, I got a better idea. And, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But in Cain's case, it didn't work. You know, he's thinking, well, you know, I'm a farmer here. I'm bringing in my vegetables or fruit or whatever it was. And, it's the best I got. It's got to be good for God. And yet it wasn't. God didn't accept it. Well, how's it work? Does it work out real well to get mad at God? Kind of hard to take it out on God, right? But you can't take it out on your brother. Now, some of you with brothers and sisters kind of know how that works. So anyway, he got mad and angry, and there's a bit of jealousy in there too, because Abel's is accepted, his is rejected, he gets mad and angry, and it's not just something that kind of blows over, it just keeps boiling over to the point that he ends up killing his own brother. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we could probably sit here and daydream a little bit and think of different instances where it may have sounded like a good idea, but it ended up in the ways of death. And the one that just kind of popped in my mind. Any of you ever done bungee jumping? Really?
My ex, we did the chair once, and then okay. The breath right out of you.
Oh, see, I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure they've measured the distance from that bridge to the bottom. And, there's three strands, but what if one of those strands break? Does he get a little extra stretch? What if they miss it by a foot? It's that sudden stop at the bottom. No, I don't even like to watch stuff like that because I'm, you know, some people like to watch, and I like motorcycle races. And Jonathan and I went to some through the years, and when they come off the jumps, you know, and then it's like, well, it's not halftime, but it's between races, you know, and they're putting their feet up over the bars and back and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And he's, man, if this guy lands wrong, he's dead. You know, they're just going to be hauling him off. And there, some of this may look like it's a good idea, but some of them can kill you. And the same thing is, you know, we might, there's a lot of people, if we went down, there is no downtown to Berlin, and there's probably nobody there anyway, but if we did, and we said, we interview people, you know, and they said, if it was up to you to get to heaven, what would be the requirements? And we'd probably be amazed on some of the stuff that people would give us. And some of them probably really believe that's how they're going to get there, you know. Help a little ladies across the street, you know, whether they want to go or not. putting groceries on people's doorsteps. All kinds of different things that we could help out people. Sounds good. Problem is, that's not what God said. And it'd be different if we just had to guess at it. But he's told us what the way of salvation is. And it's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see here the anger, jealousy, this sort of thing creeped into his life. And it just kept going till it got to the point where it was out of control and he kills his own brother. And, you know, because sometimes I'm sure that you, as well as I have, been tempted at times. Somebody's, we'll just say, mean and rotten to you, okay? What's the natural response? Being mean and rotten back, you know? You hit me, I'm going to hit you back, okay? And, you know, we may have grown up that way. Like I said, if you've got brothers and sisters, you know, there's probably some of that that went on. But God's just saying that's not the way to do that. And he tells us there in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? And the idea here is we don't return evil for evil. We should return good for evil. Now, that doesn't just happen naturally. We need God's help to make that happen. We need the Holy Spirit within us to point us in the right direction. You know, it's not that 20/20 hindsight where we think back and say, oh, you ever do that? You think back, you know, you kind of blew it. It didn't come out right. What you said, what you did. You think, oh, man. And then you think about, oh, this is what I should have said or this is what I should have done. Well, and so the Holy Spirit will help us to realize at the moment how to respond correctly. Well, let's look on here. And he says there in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so here in verse 14, it says, we know that we've passed from death unto life. John's saying this in and of himself. We know, and we've passed. He's a part of this. He's not saying, you know. But we know that if we're loving the brethren, that's one of the indications that we're saved. That's one of the indications that we've passed from death unto life, that we possess eternal life. And so we see elsewhere in Scripture where it talks about different qualities in our lives, look there quickly here in First Corinthians chapter 13, which is the what chapter? Love chapter. Okay, in verse 13, he says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love." These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Okay? And I was thinking about that. You know, there's love's probably one of the easiest ones to recognize. It's hard to, I mean, you can see somebody's faith. You can observe it over a period of time. You might be able to also observe that they have hope over a period of time. But it's fairly easy to notice if there's love present in their life. And he's saying that's a great test. And so it's a contrast to what the world presents. The world presents hatred, and the church is to demonstrate love. And we see here that they're to see that evidence of love in our lives. Not just that we talk a lot about it, but they're able to see it. And it proves something, as we see here. He says, we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brother. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. There's a giant contrast here. On the one hand, you've got hate. The other one, you've got love. There's a great difference between the two. And he's saying for the Christian, there's to be that self-sacrificing love present in our lives. We're looking out for the other person's good. And we want to fellowship with one another. We want to do good things for one another. We enjoy spending time with one another. And that's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 talks about. The idea is that we delight in being with fellow believers. If you don't like to be with believers, then you need to be asking yourself some questions. Well, why not? You don't want to be with a family? So we look here that we don't want to end up like Cain. And there again, he's the one that's prefiguring or the one that's demonstrating anger and hatred in his life. And there's no, again, greater contrast between murder, as he was, and love. Polar opposites. And you say, well, we would never murder anybody. But we find here in verse 15 that if we hate our brother, we're the same as a murderer. Okay? We just haven't went through the actions yet. The same attitude is in our hearts. Maybe we haven't acted on it yet, but it's there. We're guilty. And whatever's in our... What do we find out? What comes out of our mouth? It's what's been rattling around in our minds, in our hearts, and our actions. If there's hate and anger boiling away on the inside, sooner or later it's going to come out, and it's not going to be pretty. This word hate here, if we were to kind of analyze a little bit, and that doesn't mean much to most of us, but it's a present tense, and when it's a present tense, that it means there's an ongoing action. Okay, it's an ongoing thing. This hatred was a continuous hatred. It wasn't just got mad and got over it. It was a continual hatred to the point that you wish that somebody was dead, and that's the attitude here. Again, like I said, it's the only difference is that the act itself may not have taken place here yet. But again, what does the Lord say? How does he tell us? How are we supposed to respond? We can expect that of the world. That's why we've got prisons full of murderers, okay? Because they're unsaved and they're killing one another, okay? And God says, I'm looking for something better than that out of you guys. You're my kids. And so he says there in Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Okay, so this is maybe backing up a little bit and saying, he's not saying he's hating him at this point, but he's angry with his brother without a cause. And again, I mentioned that before. Sometimes you come across people that they're just mad and angry at anything and everything. And why do some, and there's probably a whole grocery list of things we could come up with, but I'm fishing. It's a fishing expedition. What's one of the reasons that people become angry?
They don't get their way.
Bingo. I had not put that together until, this has been a while ago, and I did some study on anger, but it was saying that it didn't get our own way. It's really selfishness on our part. And we think, oh man, that's kind of a dagger between the eyes. But yeah, we get mad and angry with other people. We kind of take it out on them because we didn't get our way. Things don't go our way. And so we get all upset. And that's, you probably again had people that you kind of tread lightly around because you know that it doesn't take much to set them off. And if things go their way, they're happy. And if things don't go their way, you pay a price. And so it's easy. What's the saying? You go along to get along or something like that, you know? You just kind of go with the flow, even if maybe it's not right, just because you don't want to make waves, because you don't want them all upset. But this is something a whole lot really more than that. Here, this anger, this murder. He says, no murderer has eternal life. Now, is that the unforgivable sin? Guys on death row, murdered people, one or more. Is there no hope for them? Can that sin be forgiven?
Sure.
Yeah, it can. It can. There, it's a sin. See, we tend to categorize sin. You know, we got the little white lies, and then we got some kind of gray ones, and then black lies. And, the other thing is, the things that other people do are sin. Things that we do, well, you know, that's a different story. You know, it's like I say, we tend to be hard on people. Because my landlord, I don't know how many times he told me this. When he stopped by, he'd be emptying the garbage, you know, and I don't even know if that was just his conversation for the day. But, you know, he'd say, I don't drink, smoke, or chew. And, you have to, or run with those that do. Okay, well, you probably need a few more of those than that nowadays. I don't do drugs and a few other things. But we're usually picking on the stuff that we don't do. We don't say, well, I don't gossip, I don't overeat, I don't do, you know. Ooh, now we're getting on, threading up Ted. I can't even talk now. get all shook up here. thin ice. Yeah, so here we see here that we're still to love our brothers, love our sisters. That's an evidence that we've passed from death unto life. And again, Christ said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul. And then what does he say the second commandment is? Second most important?
Love
your neighbor. Okay? So first of all, we love the Lord. And then we step back a little bit and say, okay, now we're going to love our neighbor. Now, we know it's not just the guy or gal that lives next door to us, right? It's pretty much anybody and everybody. But he didn't put qualifiers on it. He didn't say, love your brother or love your neighbor if they're a Christian, or if they're same skin color, or if they are the same political party, or they play the kind of music you like. You know, we don't always get to pick our neighbors. And you may move in, and your neighbors are just people that, you know, you're really good friends with them. Then they sell their house, they move out, somebody else moves in, They're not the ones that you would have chosen. The music they play, the friends they invite over, stay up hooping it up late Saturday night when you're trying to get some sleep or so you can not half asleep on Sunday at church. Yeah, no, we're supposed to love all of them. We don't get exemptions. And so, again, that's the hard part. Loving nice people that are kind of like you is easy. But he wants us to love the people that aren't like us, that are a little bit more like the porcupine, you know. I can't remember who it was that used to talk about that, the dance of the porcupine. You know, and they kind of, it's cold out, and so they kind of nuzzle up to one another until they jab one the other, and then they back off, you know. And sometimes we're like that with people. You get jabbed, you back up a little bit. Well, okay, so that's enough about the love and the hate. But he goes on to say that there's more to it than that. He says true love has another aspect to it. Let's notice there in verse 16 through 18, he says, hereby perceive we, or in other words, it's evident, we can see this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so again, contrast. He said this love ought to be evident in our lives. It ought to be a characteristic of our life. Love is also sacrificial, and we see this in Christ's life, and it ought to be seen in our lives. And just as hate is the opposite of love, hate is negative, it seeks the other person's harm, it leads to activity against them, even to the point of murder, whereas love is positive. We're seeking the other person's highest good. It's going to lead us to activity that's going to help them out. And we see some instances of that back in the Gospel of John. Let me just read a couple of these for you. In John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. Again, Christ speaking here. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Okay? He's willing to lay his life down for his sheep. Verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And so we see here instances, and there are a few more of them, but I think we better try to keep moving here, of Christ's willingness to lay down his life. And really, that's the greatest thing that we have is our life. And Jesus here, the most supreme thing that we could do would be to lay our life down to save somebody else's life. And so the greatest sin that we could do would be to take somebody else's life. And that's why it becomes the first commandment on the second tablet, that thou shalt not kill. Okay? And to give our lives for another. Now, the likelihood of any of us here tonight, or even those listening, be required to lay our lives down to save somebody else's life is probably pretty small. And it may come to that one of these days, but at this point in time, there are not too many people that have to sacrifice their life to spare the life of somebody else. But because we don't give our lives doesn't mean that we don't give them anything. We got many opportunities to reach out and to show love towards other people in other different ways, other material ways, or he says there in verse chapter 4, verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Okay? And so, how do we love one another? Well, part of it is giving. We may not be required to give of our life, but there are other things that we might be able to give. Other opportunities to give of our possessions, what God has blessed us with. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" In other words, so if somebody comes to you with some really desperate needs and you say, "Have a great day," and you don't do nothing to help them out, you know, that's not showing love. And he's saying, and so we can do, it's easy to say to a large group, "I love you all." But then we start picking them out. Okay, do you love this one? This one? This one? If they come to your door individually, would you show love towards them? Would you do what you could to help them out? Again, it's one thing, they talk about enabling, and we've touched on that at other times. The guys that are at the end of the ramp for the freeway, or is down by the bridge, you know, and that's their job. They just sit there and with a little wrinkled up piece of cardboard, "I'm hungry, I'm a veteran, I'm something, you know, give me money," you know, and I've seen some of these people drop them off there, you know, and then when they walk away, they're talking on their cell phone, so, you know, it's coming, you know, it's hard to differentiate which is real and which is fake, you know, so we ought not to enable those. If they can work. You know, the Bible tells us if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? But if they have legitimate needs and you don't have any compassion, there's no desire on your part to reach out and help them, he said, there's something wrong with you here. Because stinginess is not a Christian quality. Okay? We can be careful with our funds and what we have, but God doesn't bless us just so that we can hoard it and consume it on ourselves. It's to use it to be able to share with others. He also tells us there in James chapter 4, in James chapter 4, verse 17, somebody was sharing this with me earlier tonight, James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." There are two types of sin. There are sins of omission, sins of commission. There are sins of things that we do wrong, and that becomes a sin. And there are times when there's something that we ought to do that's right, and if we don't do it, it's wrong. Okay? And so that's what he's saying. You got somebody that comes to you with a need, and you stiff arm them. You know, it's not that you don't have it or you couldn't help. It's just you choose, "I don't want to be bothered," or, you know, "You don't deserve it," or whatever the attitude might be. He's saying, no, but God's love is to flow through you into the hearts and lives of other people. And Christ, he gave his all for us, and he wants us to be willing to give of ourselves. We see the illustration of it, of that with the Good Samaritan. And we see here that we aren't to just, remember the several different people, the priest and the Levi and others that they go by, you know, and they kind of look and they see that there's a guy with a problem, but, you know, I got places to go, people to see, so on, you know, Bible study to get to, whatever. And they're full speed ahead. And then here comes this Samaritan that they kind of look at as castaway of some kind, you know. And he's the one who responds. And so we ought to see a brother in need. It's not just a pain in the neck. I mean, you hear these different little cliches, but it's we aren't just to observe it. Yeah, there's a need there. No, we do what we can. No, we can't meet everybody's needs. But because we can't meet everybody's needs, or we can't meet all of their needs if they have some giant ones, that we just don't do anything. We do what we can. We need to respond. We ought not to just stand idly by and just observe, saying, yeah. Or we become critical, you know. Well, I've heard this one too. They got themselves into that mess. Let them get themselves out, you know. And so it's kind of like, okay, what would you hope people to do if you were in that position? But here we're challenged to give of ourselves. And he says there again, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. In other words, just talk about it. But he says, in deed and in truth. Love is active. Not just that we give a good speech, we talk about it. And I've said that before. Stand here and talk about it. That's the easy part. That's when we walk out the door and we got to put it to use. That becomes the hard part. You know, because I found, I don't know if you'd ever find this, you know, you talk about this and lo and behold, the Lord lays something out there for you, the next day or a few days later and say, okay, what are you going to do with it? You know what you're supposed to do. You know, are you going to do it now? Well, we see here, kind of pull this together, hatred is something that characterizes the world. Cain is the prototype of it. He was kind of doing the devil's work there early on and brings about the murder of his own brother. And that was evidence of his own spiritual death. Whereas love is to characterize the church. Christ is the prototype of that. And we see here that it's seeking to bring about the best, to do what we can to help the other person, not hurt them. And that's an evidence of eternal life. To be willing to give to those who have need. So, now we, for homework, the Lord will provide that for you this week. And he'll probably bring somebody across your path just to see, what will I do with it? You know, and we all have choices to make. You know, we can always come up with excuses, kind of like the guys that didn't do anything with in the Good Samaritan account. You know, which one of these will we be? And I trust we'll be challenged to make the right choice. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We do thank you for your truth. As you said, it's easier to talk about than to do it. But Lord, we do pray that we might give that evidence of love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, towards our neighbors, towards those around about us, and that we might have a giving heart, willing to give of our time and our energies to help meet the needs of others. And we'll thank you for the opportunities you give us. Help us to make right choices. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, for those listening in, I hope you'll join us on Sunday at 9:15 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning service. Let me shut this off and then we'll go to prayer.